Thanks for listening to the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Sponsored by FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com, the leader in single-day fantasy sports contests.
Roto Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Bringing you up-to-the-minute industry news.
Time for me to tell you about the biggest tournament in the history of daily fantasy sports.
Interviews from the biggest names in the industry.
The one and only Kondia. Head Chopper joins us now to talk about this weekend in daily fantasy football. Now on the podcast, Napster Man.
And game analysis to save you time and help you build your bankroll.
Both the salary and the matchup are just too good. If you are not playing him in your head-to-head games, you are just going to lose.
Here is your host, the one and only, Dan Bock.
Hey everybody, what's going on? I want to welcome you to the Wednesday edition, Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. I'm Dan Bock. Be sure to go over to iTunes, Stitcher, subscribe to this show. You'll get it each and every day as soon as it drops. Today, a little bit different. You know, some days we wake up, it's simple. We just break down NBA matchups and go on our merry way. But today, we've got to give some commentary on the industry as another depiction of it, which I certainly disagree with on a lot of levels and feel like I need to give my two cents on that. And of course, I'm speaking about the New York Times article by J. Caspian Kang and his characterization of the industry and his 4 months of playing it. And this is something that I think is frustrating on a lot of levels. One, it came from the New York Times, who I have not really been very much of a fan of their depiction of daily fantasy from the beginning. They've been very one-sided. They've used buzzwords like scandal and insider trading and cheating, which proved to be false. And it's certainly a site which is, you know, always had a great reputation. But when you only tell one side of a story, and that's really what I think they did here in this article, it's kind of frustrating because, you know, when you ask one of your articles to kind of, or your columnist to, you know, do a story on daily fantasy, what kind of story do you expect that person to give you? I mean, seriously, did we really expect the article headline to read, "How the Daily Fantasy Sports Industry Turned Me Into a Bigger Sports Fan"? Like, I would have loved to seen that because, you know what? I'd say about 8 out of every 10 people who play the game fall into that category. Say 8 out of 10, after they're playing daily fantasy, they're like, wow, I love it. It's brought me new passion. Now I care about this sport, maybe in the NBA I didn't before. It keeps me interested in watching the games longer. It's changed the way I've watched sports. I'd say the majority of people who play DFS fall into that category. But instead, we get another article written by the minority, and that's of people who play this game and have what they view as a negative experience of it. And I'm sick and tired of it, but I know why they do it, simply because the negative gets clicks. You know, buzzwords like scandal and insider trading get clicks, and so does rolling out the headline, "How the Daily Fantasy Sports Industry Turns Fans Into Suckers." That's going to get a lot more of your John, Susie, Q public clicking a link than saying how this industry is really turned me into a different sports fan. So I'm not surprised this is the tone of it, but at one point in time, I'd love for them to kind of depict the other side of it, because daily fantasy, people often lose sight of it, is yeah, there's a money component. Everybody plays this game, wants to win. But the majority of people play it strictly from an entertainment side of things. Whether it's a $5 game, maybe $20 a night that they're playing, the majority of people play it with the fact that it's entertainment for them. If I can win some money in the process, great. Nobody's going in wanting to lose money. Don't get me wrong. But when you looked at that Eilers survey that was done, and you had like 60 to 70% of the people say they're okay with losing money in daily fantasy because they're having fun playing it, that should tell you why this is such a popular game. And this sort of theme that daily fantasy is screwed up and slanted towards only one type of player is incredibly false in my eyes. And I think it is in a lot of other eyes. Because if it's so ass backward, if people are not winning and not enjoying themselves playing this game, then why the heck does the industry continue to grow? Why can FanDuel and DraftKings offer these giant tournaments that pay out hundreds of thousands of dollars each and every night this NBA season? Why? Because people still like it. It's still fun. And yes, the more work you put into it, the better you become. And that's something which I was really hoping would be addressed in this article, but wasn't. Instead, it seemed to be complaining about why you lost money to Drew Dinkmeyer. Well, here you go. You get out what you put in, first and foremost. And what you put in, there are a myriad of sites out there that help you be able to put more in than you necessarily are able to. You got Roto Grinders, you've got Daily Roto, you've got Fantasy Labs, you've got Daily Fantasy Bootcamp, you've got Fantasy Alarm, you got Fantasy Insiders. The number of tout sites out there are immense, and most of them put out tremendous content that can help you as players. If you don't utilize things like that and you don't have the time to do your own work, well, that's on you, because this is a game of skill. The better at it you are, the better at it you become, the more lucrative it can be for you. But if you think it's as simple as swapping out George Hill for Monte Ellis, it's more than that, Jay. It's a lot more than that. And that's what makes Daily Fantasy such a great game. And we talked about it just on yesterday's podcast about game selection. And there's game theory. I mean, that is why... That's what differentiates great players from new players, is great players go that extra mile. Now, that's not to say that new players can't beat those great players, because they do. It happens every single night. New players win thousands of dollars every night in the daily fantasy space. Now, yes, a lot of those people are, I would say in the minority, but yeah, there's a lot of people who don't win thousands of dollars every night. But if they're getting their entertainment dollars from it, I don't see that there's anything wrong with it. Now, here's the problem that, you know, I've got, is because there's actually some decent points that he brings up in that article. You know, he talks about scripts a little bit. And, you know, that's something which I have, you know, been against from the beginning. Listen to my first podcast when the policies came forth, quoted in articles on ESPN about it. And honestly, the sites, if they were smart, and I don't know why they haven't done it yet, is simply offer game entering scripts for everyone to use. End of story. If everyone has the same ability to enter games, then that argument is out the window. Okay? And again, I don't understand why, if they're going to allow scripts, simply to have them available to everyone. If you want to use a script on the site, fine, but you have to have it available to everyone else to use. And hopefully that's a policy these sites kind of move towards. I think it makes sense, especially if they can't monitor them, like it was quoted in the story as saying there's nothing they can do about them. Well, there you go. There's your solution to it. But even if you have a script or a quote-unquote algorithm, it far from guarantees you success. You know, for the times that Max Dullery wins piles of money, there are many of times as well where he and other players who mass multi-enter tournaments do not win. Those are never talked about. Never talked about. But it happens, and it happens more than you think. Honestly, in my own experience of using the Roto Grinders script, I do way worse with that than I do when I just build it on my own. So I don't think it guarantees anybody success if they use it. Would I prefer to have it available to everyone? Absolutely. No question about it. And that kind of goes to the discussion of, can we make the industry better? Yes, we can make the industry better. But to sit there and preach that this is a one-sided game that nobody can win, it's false. It happens daily. We saw it last year in the FanDuel Playboy Basketball Championship. You had a woman who never played basketball in her life. She qualified via NFL. And she realized, oh, I'm in this NBA tournament. So what am I going to do? I'm going to bust my ass, research, play games, and get to know the game itself in about a month's time. And lo and behold, what do you know? She walked in that day. She beat everyone. She beat the best of the best. The Beat Calicores, the Clones, the Ganondorfs, the Al Smizzles. She beat them all. So tell me how it's impossible for new people to win when it happens every single day. And if you don't like your success, well, just like I talked about yesterday, you need to examine your own play and adjust accordingly. If you don't like playing in 50-50s where people can have multiple lineups in a 50-50, then play one of the hundreds of single-entry ones that they have available to you. If you don't want to play Drew Dinkmeyer, then don't pick up his games. It's very simple. So this woe-is-me kind of mentality that was put across in this column, it's sad. If you want to get better, you can get better. But no, it's not going to be served up to you on a silver platter. Guys like Mike Petta and Notorious and Dinkmeyer and CSU Ram and Big T and Ganondorf, these are all guys who started this in the same boat as you. Everyday schlubs with jobs who started playing Daily Fantasy, then started having more success with it, then started playing even on a higher level. So all these people started in that same spot as you, Jay, and some of them went on to succeed and do better. Why? Because they put more time and effort into it than others. And I realize not everyone is able to do that, but that's the expectation you've got to have. If you're okay looking at it and say, hey, I'll lose $100 a week. You know, for you, Jay, that might be nothing. But the question you got to ask yourself at the end of the day is not, oh, you know, this is rigged against me. Maybe it's, you know, am I okay with losing this amount of money because I enjoyed myself playing it? Did you ever think of that? Do you ever look at it from that perspective? I didn't see it written in that article for a single second. Instead, it was complaints about feeling that basically, only high-dollar people can win. And that has been proven false time and time again. Just because you have a bigger bankroll, it doesn't ensure you to be a great player. And just because someone's even ranked high on RotoGrinders, that doesn't automatically mean that they're a top profitable player. Again, our overall rankings are built more on volume than they are success. We don't include people's losses in that. Did you do the research? Did you know that? Did you know we don't calculate how much Max Dullery loses on a millionaire maker when his base doesn't hit? So, yeah, he's a great player. Yeah, he's successful. Yeah, he's made millions in daily fantasy. But just because you play a ranked player doesn't mean necessarily that they're that much better than you. And that's something that I think was also overlooked in this. And you know, the part that really kind of drove me crazy, and I've obviously, as you can see, there's a lot of it that did, but one thing that really drove me crazy was, you know, when he basically talked about his experience at the FanDuel Live Final, which is something that I attended, and I've attended pretty much every one but the first one, and he basically kind of talked, the only thing he referenced about that whole kind of weekend was the fact that there were two drunk guys screaming, "I'm rich! I'm bleeping rich!" And even if you listen to my podcast afterwards about the event, I said, you know what? They didn't handle themselves in the right manner. But overall, if you looked at the other 400 people in that room, it was nothing but absolute class by the people who participated in that. It wasn't sour grapes that somebody got hurt on their team. It was culminated with just an unbelievable story, which rather than talking about Longbottom's Roman, who ended up winning $3 million and doing it the right way, it was overlooked for talking about a couple of drunk guys who were not even contestants in the tournament. That was his depiction. I mean, you had Roman there who basically went on to prove, in my eyes, you want to become a good player? Well, you get in or you get out what you put in. And what did he put in? Basically, right before I believe he qualified, what did he do? Packed his bags, went up from D.C. to New York, and attended the DFS Players Conference. He learned from guys like JM to Win, Draft Cheat, Drew Dinkmeyer, Evan Silva, Adam Levitan. He listened to these guys, and was that the only thing that helped him end up winning that qualifier? No. But did it help along the way? I bet your bottom dollar he would say that it did. And again, it's an example of somebody who put more in and got more out. And instead of talking about how somebody who, relative, you know, anonymous player in DFS won $3 million against the best of the best and competed. I mean, this is the amazing thing. He competed against guys he learned from, like Draft Cheat. And then you see a guy like Draft Cheat afterwards congratulate him, gives him a hug, and the entire place was excited for this guy, completely overlooked. Why? Ah, that's not a good story. The two drunk guys screaming, "I'm effing rich!" That's the story, right? Shouldn't be, but it is. And that's what I found extremely sad and frustrating by this column by Jay Caspian Kang. And again, it kind of goes back to the theme that we have, you know, as you know, an industry, or that we have at Roto Grinders, is, you know, we're here to help you. We realize not everybody can have the time to do it, but if you want to be a great player, if you put in enough time and effort, I feel like you can become a great player. But it's not given to you on a silver platter. It takes a lot of work, and some people naturally are going to be better at it than other people. I mean, every year I played Daily Fantasy, every single year I played, my W9 or 1099 I get from the sites grows every single year. Now, I've been playing since 2006 or so? 2009? I don't even know anymore. 5, 6 years, whatever. 2009, 2008. So every year I have to pay more money in taxes because I'm winning more money. Is that coincidence? Or is that a trend? The longer I play, the better I get, the more money I'm winning as a player. So, you know, don't draw a conclusion that the industry is slanted towards certain people off of 4 months, especially when, who'd you talk to about it? Who'd you talk to? You got quotes from one guy who may or may not have an agenda. That's it. That's all you did. And it's real insulting to see a guy like Draft Cheat, for example, who I view as one of the very best players in all of DFS, who has never in his entire life used a script. Ever. Never used it. And sure enough, lo and behold, yeah, that's why he's good. No, that's not why he's good. Because he put in the time, he's put in the work, and it's insulting to those people to categorize his success as anything but that. And instead of talking about how those people got good and talking about why the same people win more than other people, you just put it on, well, it's just the way the sites are designed. No, it's what you make of it, man. If you don't want to play multi-entry tournaments, you don't have to. Now, I realize, yeah, multi-entry for a lot of people, they don't view it as fair. I've talked about it before. There's been plenty of people who have lost piles of money in multi-entry tournaments. But the fact of the matter is, people still like them. People still like playing for a lot of money, and that is not going to change overnight. I mean, why do these tournaments continue to fill for NBA time and time again? It's not necessarily because it's the same people stuffing entries in there. When you have the Slam fill 5 hours early on FanDuel over the weekend, it's not because Max Dullery put in 50 lineups or whatever. So there's definitely demand by even everyday people. Yes, there might be a dollar and a dream mentality for some who don't do the work. That might be what it is. But if you put in the time and the effort, trust me, at some point in time, it will pay off for you. It has for me. It has for so many other people I've seen play this game. And if you expect there to be some sort of shortcut out there, you're wrong. But don't blame the makeup of the sites. Can policy be better? Sure. I talked about my feelings on scripts. They've already lowered the amount of low-dollar entries that people can have. There is great regulation on the brink. It's going to happen. But the picture that was painted in that article, I feel, was highly inaccurate and very insulting in a lot of levels to me. So there you have it. That's my feelings on that. Certainly, you know, I'm plugged in way more than most. Maybe my opinion's a little bit biased, but I've also lived this industry longer than just about anybody else. And, you know, people might say, well, Dan, you know, you've got a financial interest from the Roto-Grinder standpoint. That's accurate. But have I ever talked about something not from the heart? I feel like I give you basically my feelings on it from top to bottom. Are there things we can do better? Yes. But come on. Give me a break in terms of this. Yeah, they only want the good. They only want the high dollar people to win. That's not true. Because if only the high dollar people win, then there goes the sites. They won't exist anymore. If it's only the same people always winning, the site's going to go away. So that's my feeling on it. Hopefully you enjoyed it. If you didn't, that's fine. It's just my opinion. But that's pretty much going to do it for us here today on the podcast. I know you're looking for more game analysis. You're going to find some, but it's going to be on Grinders Live tonight. That's going to be happening at 3:30. That will take you all the way up until 6:30 or 7 o'clock tonight with Last Call. Hopefully some announcements coming for you late in the week on SiriusXM news for next week. We'll keep you up to date on that. And in the meantime, you know where to find me, at Dan_Bach on Twitter, Dan@rotogrinders.com. Till tomorrow, have yourself a great Wednesday, and we will see ya.
Thanks for listening to the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Don't miss an episode by subscribing to it on iTunes and Stitcher. And for up-to-the-minute DFS news, please follow us on Twitter @RotoGrinders.